Today's lesson is on the Lordship of Christ, and since this matter of Lordship must be definitely settled in your own personal life before you lead those in your discussion group to a decision of total commitment to Jesus Christ, would you reflect with me as I read seven statements entitled Dying to Self? When you are forgotten or neglected or purposely set at naught, and you don't sting and hurt with the insult or the oversight, but your heart is happy being counted worthy to suffer for Christ, that is dying to self. When your good is evil spoken of, and when your wishes are crossed, your advice disregarded, your opinions ridiculed, and you refuse to let anger rise in your heart or even defend yourself, but you take it all in patient, loving silence, that is dying to self. When you lovingly and patiently bear any disorder, any irregularity, any impunctuality, or any annoyance, when you stand face to face with waste, folly, extravagance, spiritual insensibility, and endure it all as Jesus endured, that is dying to self. When you are content with any food, any offering, any climate, any society, any solitude, any raiment, any interruption by the will of God, that is dying to self. When you never care to refer to yourself in conversation, or to record your own good works, or itch after commendations, when you can truly love to be unknown, that is dying to self. When you can see your brother prosper and have his needs met and can honestly rejoice with him in spirit and feel no envy nor question God while your own needs are far greater and in desperate circumstances, that is dying to self. When you can receive correction and reproof from one of less stature than yourself and can humbly submit inwardly as well as outwardly, finding no rebellion or resentment rising up within your heart, that is dying to self. Well, it's my prayer for you that instead of being unerringly loyal to yourself, you will be devoted instead to Jesus Christ. And teacher, if you are not today, what do you think the solution is? Well, let me give you a solution in simply a four-word statement: the transfer of allegiance. This involves the unconditional, total, and complete surrender of all that we are and all that we hope to become, all of our plans, all of our possessions, everything placed on the altar. An additional idea for an assignment that you might want to give the group next week might be to have them list all the verses they can find on Christ being the Lord of our lives. And then place those verses in these four categories: Lord over self, possessions, other people, and occupation. And then secondly, have them write down an application, if need be, on any of these four points. And then thirdly, ask them to list any specific hindrances or problems that they can think of under these four headings. This might give you some tangible way you see in which to serve them by helping them work out or isolate the problems which are hindering His Lordship in their lives. Perhaps you could design projects aimed at helping resolve whatever stands between them and total commitment to the Lord. And you know, teacher, it's easy, I think, sometimes by just outward appearances to feel that a group has made this transfer of allegiance. But let me encourage you to make sure in a prayerful and spirit-led manner. Because if the outward appearance you read turns out to be incorrect, then there could be a vast, eternal difference in your lives and in theirs. You know, I'm sure this was the case with Judas and Peter. The basic difference between these two men finds its roots in the fact that Judas failed to make a complete surrender of himself to Christ from the start. And he carried over into this new life part of the old life, which from the very start disputed the Master's absolute rule. Judas was overcome by sin because of his allegiance to self. He openly professed his allegiance to Jesus, but secretly his allegiance was divided. Peter failed very often. He'd made boasts of allegiance and failed. But, you know, he came to a point of crowning Christ the Lord of his life. And from that time on, his allegiance was to Jesus Christ, and his life grew in depth and in usefulness. Teacher, would you pray for your group by name that they will harbor no secret allegiance to themselves? Let me give you one more illustration. Matthew 19:16-22 pictures for us the rich young ruler. And here again, all outward appearances would indicate that he was a completely dedicated man. But Christ knew his heart, and Christ put his finger on the very one thing that hadn't been surrendered. And you know, teacher, this is where perhaps you may be a catalyst to the different members of your group as you get to know them, and perhaps you recognize, or maybe in their sharing with you, you come to understand their point of greatest resistance or unreserved commitment to Christ. And perhaps you can help them by pointing this out. Why must the Lordship of Christ be so demanding, someone might ask. Maybe these lines of free verse might help give you an answer to give to someone else, or even solidify the answer to your own heart. One by one he took them from me, all the things I valued most, until I was empty-handed. Every glittering toy was lost, and I walked earth's highways grieving in my rags and poverty, till I heard a voice inviting, "Lift those empty hands to me." And I turned my hands toward heaven, and he filled them with the store of his own abundant riches, till they could hold no more. And at last I contemplated with my stupid mind and soul that God could not pour his riches into hands already full. My prayer for you and your class, as well as for my own heart, is that our hands would not be full of self, but emptied of self, so that they can be made full of all the riches that Jesus Christ has to offer us. And this is possible only as we make him the undisputed Lord of our lives. Blessings on you today, teacher.